did Abraham and Sarah know about God? How did Abraham and Sarah get to know God better? How did Hagar, who was a non-Jew, she was an Egyptian, I feel like I'm having some feedback going on, how did she become personally acquainted with God? Well, in Genesis 15 through 17, we discover some answers to these questions. For our God is a God who reveals himself. He reveals himself to mankind in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
It's really feeding back. Am I doing something wrong?
No.
Other than talking? Okay. Anyway. So, our God wants us to know him. And he wants us to know him better and better as we grow in our relationship with him. He wants us to be personally acquainted with him. We too get to know God better because of his revelation to Abram and Sarah and Hagar as we take a look at these chapters. And some of these, we're going to pull out some verses that we're going to discover. Because God often reveals himself through a variety of titles, different descriptive words he uses to describe himself, and also a variety of names. So we're going to look at some portions of Genesis. We're going to skip a little bit and draw some lessons for us to help us get better acquainted with our Lord. So let's begin by prayer. Father, we do thank you that you brought us here tonight, and Lord, we are grateful that you are a God who reveals yourself to man, and you want us to know you. Lord, you are delighted when we seek your face, and we come to read in your word, and we come to a study such as tonight that we might draw close to you, that we might become more and better acquainted with you, our God and our Savior. So we pray by your Spirit you would put on distractions, Lord, and that you would help us to gain, maintain, and cling to the things that you show us tonight in your word. So may we be receptive, and may we not only be received for ourselves, but may we be willing and open to share the things that you teach us with those around us, our families, our co-workers, our neighbors, strangers even, God, according to your plan and the opportunities you gave us. So we commit this night to you, Lord, and we thank you already for what you've done in our midst and the fellowship we've had. So continue to bless, because you are a blessing God. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 15, 1 through 5, I'm going to read it from the New International Version. After this, 10 years had passed, by the way, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and this is what God said. Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram went on to say, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Then God took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to Abram, So shall your offspring be. The first title and description that God revealed himself to Abram in this passage is Genesis 15:1, and this is what he said to Abram. I am your shield and exceeding great reward. Now, obviously, we can gather some pictures and thoughts in our mind when we think of the word shield. God described himself as Abram's shield. which would mean and indicate protector, defender. Therefore, since God is your shield, Abram, your defender, your protector, do not be afraid. Then he said, I am your great reward. Now, obviously, it sounds like if someone said that to you, or God said that to you, is talking about God is the giver. God is the one who is, he recompenses those around him. You receive gain from a rewarder. God is an asset to him. And I think about also how the great reward would be a significant person. So God affirmed to Abram that he was his primary protector, defender, provider as Abraham's reward. Abram was promised that he would get an heir, that God, out of his own body, he would be able to have a son. So here's a lesson for you and for me. Jesus wants to remove our fear, just as he did Abram's. He is reminding you and me tonight that God is our shield. He protects and he defends us from our enemy, who is obviously Satan, the devil. The scripture tells us if God is for us, who can be against us? Are you aware of that? Do you think about that? Do you count on God to be your protector, your shield, your defense? He is also your reward. When we receive Christ, he lives in us, and God is a rewarder of those who trust him, we hear in the New Testament. Jesus gave himself to you and to me. Jesus could be called your significant other. I liked that when that thought came to my mind. Now notice then from verse 2, that even God, after God reaffirmed to Abram his promise to give him an heir and to give him the possession of the land of Canaan, Abraham sincerely and yet with respect for God boldly questioned God, because this is what he said in essence. How can I be sure? Sovereign God, how can I know that I will gain possession of this land? What I take away from that is God honors our honest questions. It's okay to talk to God about those things that you don't understand, to ask him about your doubts and your questions, because God reassured Abram and he repeated his promise to give him an heir from his own body as well as the inheritance. Then we find a beautiful verse in verse 6 where God said about Abram, Abraham believed, Abram at this point still, Abram believed the Lord, and what did God do in response? God credited it to him as righteousness. Faith is the only requirement to receive God's righteousness. That's the lesson for you and for me. Faith is the only requirement to receive God's righteousness, because righteousness is credited to our account when we simply take God at his word and believe what he said about Jesus. By grace you've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, we learn in the New Testament. Then another lesson, God is a covenant establishing and a covenant keeping God. We have the old covenant, we have the new covenant. God initiated his covenant with Abram. He would and did keep his promises, his covenant to Abram, didn't he? God also initiated, established, and ratified the new covenant to believers by grace, through faith alone in Jesus and Jesus' finished work on the cross. Then in verse 7, God also said to Abram these words, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land for a possession. He was saying, I am God, Yahweh, who brought you out in order to give you this land. We need to realize that Jehovah God has brought us out of the old life, and he's put us into a new inheritance, an inheritance that we receive in Christ. He brought us out of darkness and taken us into light. He brought us out of the old self life, and he's brought us into new life. These are things that we can ponder and rejoice in and give thanks for and apply to our own lives. So then in the remainder of Genesis 15, we're not going to go through this tonight, but God answered Abraham's doubts by ratifying the covenant that he had just given to Abram. And God did that by God himself passing through the parts of the slain divided animals while Abram was in a sleepy stupor. God ratified his own covenant without Abram doing anything. The lesson for you and for me is God alone passed through the animals, indicating that the covenant was only dependent upon God, not on Abram. Only part that Abram would have, the only part you and I have in the new covenant, is simply, again, to believe God's word, to believe what God has said about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. Sometimes it seems too simple. Then in Genesis 16, jumping to 16, we run into Sarah's plan. I call this one man, two woman drama. You ever write titles in your Bible along the paragraphs and things? So one man and two women drama. Women are good at drama, aren't we? Especially if we start scheming up our own plan because we get tired of waiting on God and, or anyone else for that matter. So let's read a little bit what happened here in verses 1 through 6. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. I guess this was common in that day. Abram agreed to what Sarah had suggested. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took the Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, you are responsible for this wrong I am suffering. I love that, don't you? It has all your fault, honey. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And Abram said, your slave is in your hands. I give up, probably, is what he's really saying. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so Hagar fled from her. Let's stop and think about some lessons for us. Sarai and Abram put an expiration date on God's promise of a son. Someone said that in our Joyful Life Leader meeting a few weeks ago. So let's not put an expiration date on God's promises. God then allowed, sovereignly, graciously, permissive will, if you will, allowed Sarah and Abraham to follow their own plan. But they and their descendants would have to deal with the consequences throughout their life and the lifetime of their offspring. And even unto the present day, you and I know that there's still Arab and Israeli conflict. So here's a big lesson for us. If you don't take anything else away, think about this. But God did not and would not abandon his plan in spite of their plan and allowing them to have their plan as well. God is always sovereign, and no one can thwart his eternal plan. Our impatient actions only complicate our own lives and delay God's timing. So then what happened? Hagar fled because of the terrible pressure and the hostility that she was experiencing, but from Sarai. But obviously it was too much for her, and so she decided to run away. Can you relate? Have you ever been tempted to run away from a disturbing, difficult circumstance? Have you actually run away, as she did, from a painful situation? I have. Yet, what did God do? Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that was beside the road to Shur. And the angel of the Lord, who is, by the way, Jesus, manifested before the incarnation that we know in the New Testament. So the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, slave of Sarah, he's addressed to her, Hagar, it calls her by name, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. But the angel added a promise, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Now, God doesn't always give you all good news, right? This doesn't sound like, as a mother, good news to me. But Hagar, this is her response. She gave the name of the Lord who spoke to her. She addressed him and said, you are the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. And we know that name is El-Roi, the God who sees. Write it down. God sees you. God hears you. God sees you. He sees when you are in misery. He hears your broken heart cry. He went after Hagar and encountered her. She wasn't seeking God. God, Jesus, sought her. So that is why the well, she named the well Beer Laharoi. And it's still there according to the scripture. So Hagar bore Abram, the son. Obviously, she went back. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And Abram gave the name of Ishmael when he was born, that name. And Abraham, by the way, was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. So, some lessons. Again, names and descriptions of God. Again, the angel of the Lord, identified later in the scripture as the pre-incarnate Son of God. That is Jesus. Jesus heard her. Jesus saw her. Jesus sees you. Jesus hears you, and he is the God who sees. But God not only sees and hears, we see from this story, Jesus cared. He loved Hagar. He loves you. He is merciful. He didn't have to go after her. He's compassionate, and he compassionately pursues you, and he pursues me. Even in our disobedience, even when we think we're going to run away, or we have run away, or we try to run away from him, we don't always run away physically, but sometimes we run away spiritually, emotionally, God's going to go after you because he cares for you, because he has a better plan for you, because he wants to draw you close. He goes after us. Again, even though she didn't deserve it, she was wrong in her pride. She was wrong in her behavior toward Sarah. She looked down on Sarah because Sarah obviously was a barren. And here she was, pregnant with Abram's child. Hagar was a sinner. You and I are sinners. We don't deserve the mercy and the grace of God. Again, yet God chose to reveal himself to her, and his kindness, he gave Hagar a son and promised her that she would be able to raise him. Don't you know that her expectations would have been when her child was born, it wouldn't be hers anymore? She would have to give her son or her child to Hagar. I mean, Sarah, that was the plan, right? But no, God was going to allow her to raise her son as her own. He also promised to bless Ishmael. Bless Ishmael. Well, now that is, again, a grace and mercy of God. He didn't have to. Think about the conception. Yet God promised that he would give Ishmael blessings. He would not give him the inherited promise, or the, you know, the promise from God, the inheritance that blessed reserved for Isaac, but God still blessed Ishmael. In fact, he told him he was going to be a king, or he told Hera. her. Hagar, my tongue gets all tied up, told Hagar that her son would be the king of an allotted territory. So after he gave her the promises, I believe that it gave her enough courage and enough faith to go back. Because that was his instruction, right? Go back to your mistress and submit. God would sustain her in that difficult place, because she now knew God's eye was on her and his ears were listening to her, and that God was with her. Doesn't that give you the courage and the confidence that whatever you have to go back into in obedience to God, he's given you the promise, I'll be with you. I will meet your needs. I'm going to even bless you in that place, because he sees, he hears, he understands, he cares, and we have many, many more promises from the New Testament that he's going to supply your every need. Because Emmanuel, our Christmas name that we're thinking of today, he is with us. Jesus is with us. He will promise, he has promised to keep you and to supply all of your needs in Christ. So now we're at Genesis 17, 1 through 8. So here God reveals himself by a new name to Abram. And he also gives Abram a new name. Another 13 years have passed between chapter 16 and 17. So here we find Abram and Sarah in another waiting period. So I'm going to read. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, what? I am God Almighty. Commanded, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Pay attention to the I wills. Next time you read this, you're going to notice them when I'm reading them. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." The name El Shaddai, the first term in Scripture, God Almighty, God the All-Sufficient, Self-Sufficient One, a name worthy of further study on your own. God is the one, this El Shaddai is the one who has all power, all ability to fulfill his I will declarations and his I will promises. For you and for me, write this down. Jesus is enough. You can fill in the blank. Jesus is enough for whatever. He is the sufficient one, the all-sufficient one. God is saying to you and to me tonight, I am the Almighty God. I am the God who is enough for every need you will ever have. If we will believe God's word, he will reveal himself to you and to me as the all-sufficient one. Whatever you are going through, you can say to yourself in faith, "For this I have Jesus." And you can fill in the blank. "For this loss I have Jesus. For this trial I have Jesus. For this diagnosis I have Jesus. For this prodigal, I have Jesus. For this heartache, for this broken heart, I have Jesus. For this unknown future, I have Jesus. For this financial disaster, I have Jesus. For this tragedy, I have Jesus." You and I have Jesus for whatever we will ever face. Verse 15, God also said to Abraham, now he is Abraham, remember? "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations," not just a son, but the mother of nations. "Kings of people will come from her." How staggering, huh? Abram fell face down, I think I would have too. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be more to a man who is 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? I just crossed the 80 border. I don't think I'd want to bear a son at 90. Or even a baby. But for them, this was good news. This was exciting. This was a miraculous, staggering promise. And yet, we read in the New Testament, that's the dead word staggered. Abram staggered not at the promise of God. So, verse 18, "And Abram said to God," listen to this, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Interesting. God just promised him a son from Sarah, but obviously he loved Ishmael, and he wanted God to just take Ishmael. You know, it's okay, God. We'll do with Ishmael. How about that? Well, God had a better idea, didn't he? God said in verse 19, yes. Ah, he said, yes, I will bless Ishmael, right? A quick yes. But your wife Sarah will bear a son, and you will call him Isaac, which means laughter. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his number. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Then when God had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. So let's wrap this up with some closing lessons. There's so many things you can take away. And I hope in your discussion group tonight, you discover some more that you'll share with one another, because I've just highlighted a few that came to my mind. So first, expect from God and believe his promises. Simple thing. Expect from God and believe his promises, yet without putting a time limit on, that's what I tend to do, right? I want to put a time limit on his promises. And besides that, besides not putting a time limit on God's promises, don't expect him to do it in a certain way. And don't give him suggestions like Sarah did. God works miracles. His plan is perfect. And while he waits, he teaches us to wait. He strengthens our faith during those times while we wait for him to fulfill his promise. He will fulfill them. Remember all the I wills? I didn't count them. I got sidetracked. I started, but then I lost track of. Anyway, I count them. But God has promised he will. And what God promises to do, he will do. Another lesson. God's I will promises are promises you can take to the bank, so to speak. He will do all his will. Another lesson. God is a God of break-ins and breakthroughs. God will break into your life sometimes with a surprise, because he's also a God of surprises. He's a God of miracles. And he will also break through our lives from time to time. And that's what he did for Hagar. He broke through and he broke into her life. And yet remember, God works on his own time frame. He's not in a hurry. Boy, do I find myself in a hurry. I don't know why. I haven't really got much to do, but I find myself in a hurry. Why? I don't know. Just my nature. But God is not in a hurry. He causes us to wait, as I mentioned, on his promises. God is a blessing God. God chose to bless Isaac. He chose to bless Ishmael. He chose to bless Hagar. He chose to bless and be patient with Abraham and Sarai. God is a blessing God. And yet, his blessings don't always come in pretty gift wrap. God blesses and honors and rewards faith. The beginning, remember? I am your shield and your great reward. God will reward our faith, far beyond what we could ever think or imagine. Our part is to believe, to claim, and wait for his promises as we walk by faith. The last comment I want to make, an encouragement to you, is to keep studying, keep learning more about Jesus. Study his names. Study the descriptions when you run across them. Journal them down. Keep learning. God wants to reveal himself to you in new and rich and wonderful ways. And the end of your story will be glorious and joyful. Guaranteed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lessons we can draw from every part of the scripture, really. But there's so much in these three chapters, and we're so much like Sarai, who gets impatient and comes up with her own schemes, her own plans. And yet, God, you are so patient with us. You're merciful, you're gracious, and you bless us in spite of our own failures and all. But God, you are the God who sees. You're the God who hears. You're the God who cares and understands. And you are the Almighty God. Nothing is too hard for you. Whatever any of these women or every woman is going through in her life season, you are the Almighty God. You are our shield, you are our defense, you are our reward. And you are there to meet us, and you go after us. And yet sometimes you give us a hard instruction to go back and submit ourselves in a difficult situation. But Lord, the promise is, you are with us. You've promised us beautiful blessings when we obey, when we trust you, when we depend on you, and we put our faith and our anchor of faith in you, Lord Jesus, because you are the faithful one. You are a blessing God, and I'm so thankful. Help us to go out tonight with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving on our lips, and praise and worship to you, our worthy God. In Jesus' name, amen.